Do it again.
Of all the gin joints in all the towns in all the world.
You're listening to Drinks, Jokes, and Storytelling.
Hey girl, a martini, shaken, not stirred.
Don't try and church it up, son.
You can't handle the truth.
I am big. The picture that got small.
Your first one's on us.
Like, you know what I mean? And I watched De Niro the other night, and now this guy.
The only thing worse is when comics pretend to be actors.
So bad. I think comics are better actors.
You know why? I think that we're used to saying the same thing over and over again and trying to make it sound fresh. And if you're filming something, you have to do it over and over again, you know?
Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Drinks, Jokes, and Storytelling. I'm your host, Mark Rigadano, and with me, as always,
Richie Byrne.
Your producer, Soul Joel.
He almost
didn't get to say his name because they had peanut butter.
Can you hear
stuck.
The bag he's eating? Joel's eating.
I told him while you guys were talking, I said, hit record.
Yeah, we just went. We're going to have
a dirty opening.
Which we should, because this is an interesting guest.
We have a very special guest today.
Yeah, he says that every week.
Because another, like, making someone feel mediocre by telling them that I say that.
Here's what happened. We always did, as guests, we always stand-up comedians, right?
Until we had
Dr. Oz. And then once we had Dr. Oz, we said, okay, we're going to go away from the comedians, and that's why he's here today. No.
Without further ado,
Don't worry, nobody saw that coming.
He is actually... best friends with you and me.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Separately.
Separately, yeah.
You know what I mean? And even though you and I knew each other longer, but we were both closer to him separately.
I think I brought you together, actually.
No, we knew each other, but in a lot of ways, yes.
I think you actually made us meet. We knew of each other
through
the club.
No, but we'd met. Yeah, we'd met.
On a personal level.
If I recall correctly.
We should introduce him. Hold on.
I set up something.
The more and more we don't say his name, the more and more none of this matters.
People are so in anticipation that when we say your name, they'll be like, who?
It was the top of the Empire State Building. I told you to meet me there at 1. I told Mark to be there at 1. I showed up. There was a candlelit dinner for 2
of you. I expected Tom Hanks.
I had no shirt on. I climbed up. These airplanes started shooting at me.
Ladies and gentlemen, Vinny Nardiello.
Woo! Thank you.
Joel is eating still. In case you guys are worried that Joel's not here.
If anybody's not a fan of Joel and they don't like him on the podcast,
they should just
send peanut butter and jelly for every week.
Is Joel always this unenthused for the guests? Is this a normal thing?
Well, I want to say, though, before we go dig any...
Did you hear that?
No.
Oh, this...
I clapped my hand.
No, somebody was going, ha-ha. Was that me twice?
I don't know.
It was
the high-pitched sound.
Yeah, it was weird.
It's a ghost, yeah.
Scooby! Patrick Swayze.
But I really want to point out the fact that Vinny, not only, you know, we know him through stand-up comedy, but he's also a fantastic writer.
Yes.
And we talked about it several times on the show.
We have talked about this play many, many times, so it was about time
Vinny
to have the writer on.
An amazing play called The Boom, and he asked me to direct it, and then we casted it, and we made Richie still audition.
Yes.
Even though we knew he was going to get the part, we still made him audition because we wanted to be dicks.
It was funny because the part... which we talked about before, but the part was a really bad comedian. So I read the role, and it was a great role, but he was a really bad comedian. And I wasn't sure if I was going to have time because I was going back to Dr. Oz and all. And Vinny called me, like, all pissed off. He's like, why aren't you taking this role? And I'm like, no, I'm looking into it. Let me see if I can. No, so you may not take it? You may not do the show? And I'm like... no, Vin, I'm just trying. And he goes, because, you know, I wrote the fucking role for you.
You know, this
thank you, Vin. Thank you for writing a role about a bad comedian.
This is actually something that I thought we were bringing up when we were with Mark DeMeo. When you said we have a great story for him, I thought you were going to tell
the
story
because you played
a retired cop.
No, you're right. Mm-hmm. No.
But that's so sidetracked. But that was what I thought.
The part was not based on Mark, though.
No.
You can tell it's not.
No, it was based on a million other horrible comedians.
Right. Mark DeMeo's a good-looking, funny guy.
Yeah.
This guy was me Not
yes.
funny.
Well, do you remember what you wouldn't do?
You pulled off something. You pulled off something that I think is pretty impossible for most actors, and especially comedic actors. You were so not funny that you were actually funny.
Right.
Like, you played it perfectly.
Thank you.
Which is really hard to do because everybody gets insecure that they're not being funny, that they ham it up to let you know that they're
which
acting.
Which I hate. Mm-hmm.
And
which
you,
I hate.
You did such
you
a
don't
beautiful
have,
job.
And, that, and if, well, in all, God, I hate to sound like we're all kissing each other's ass, but I knew the words were there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I really did. I loved the script.
Reading it, you could see the guy.
I could see the guy. I could see what he wrote. I could see what he wanted.
You've worked with that guy.
Yeah.
Oh, God, if I worked with that guy.
Hey, you have been that guy. But but I really did. Thank you for saying that, Mark, because I really didn't want to overplay it.
It made, it really made my job insanely easy. And DJ played another hard character that I think actors would have a hard time doing. He was playing like this washed up sad story.
Yeah.
And he nailed it without being pitiful.
Right.
And if he would have played it in pitiful, it would have been a really long show.
Yep.
And he didn't. It was Crazy Heart. That movie Crazy Heart.
Yeah.
I totally ripped that off. 100%. I just saw Crazy Heart and basically transcribed.
It had that vibe of like, this guy, you want to root for him even though he's washed up. And even though it's like, you know, his best years are behind him, you still believe in him. And you guys all made my job insanely easy.
Well, and it showed.
I know, I put on a lot of weight.
I've always said Crazy Heart, to me, is actually one of the... You can make that stand-up comedy. And it actually captures stand-up in... Especially in the way he's doing one horrible gig one night and then an awesome gig the next night. Like, he's in a bowling alley literally one night.
Yeah.
And the next night he's in this, like, amphitheater.
Yeah, that's opening like, for the number one country.
Yeah, and that's really, I think, what happens in stand-up. You literally will be at, like...
Yeah, that's
true. You know, this awesome gig one day, and the next day you're at, like, a VFW.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
VFW is the good
thing. I'll tell you a great story. I had to do a show. I had to open up for Dr. Oz at Radio City Music Hall on a Saturday day. Mm-hmm. And it was sold out, 7,000 people.
What does Dr. Oz do at Radio City Music Hall?
Health.
He dances with the girls.
Makes you be like, oh, I've never seen Dr. Oz. Now what?
I did the show.
What the fuck's he doing?
He's such an asshole. Jesus. So I did the show, and that night, it was a daytime show, and that night I had to literally go to a Knights of Columbus in New Jersey, and as I'm driving over the GW from the city, I'm like, this is exactly what comedy is.
Yeah.
I went from 7,000 people going crazy.
Do you know how many?
William 70. Shatner showed up, yeah, to like
Do you know
70
how many hat comics have your real life premise as their opening line?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I was asked to play radio.
You're
segment.
Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Today?
Yeah.
VFW.
Yeah, yeah. If you did that, then no.
I do that now because I can. You know what I mean?
Well,
like, I actually do Radio City Music Hall. Right. Yeah, I'm not. This isn't a hack bit for me. This happened, fuckers. So it's a great play. I'm very proud of something in my career, and that's that I've only been involved in one movie. And the movie I was involved in was about comics, and mm-hmm. it was called Goodbye Baby, which you remember, which Jay Black and I were we wrote for the character in the movie, and we were in the movie, and I loved Goodbye Baby. I thought it really captured the comedy scene in New York,
mm-hmm.
and it captured it from a young girl's way of looking at it, coming in as a young, good-looking female comic, and then I did The Boom, which is a play, also based on stand-up comedy, and I thought it captured so much of what the road comedy is, and the perspective was from an older guy who'd been big and was now on his way down.
Now, which one did you identify with more?
Well, the little girl. I think I identified with the girl, yes.
our guest questions are spot on.
So I'm proud that if you ever have a chance, I think the two that I've seen, and I'm not saying this because I was in them, but I think that they both capture stand-up comedy better than any movie or play I've ever seen. I'm serious.
Well,
you
TV is all comics playing themselves now and doing comedy.
Right.
That's like all, like, you know, all you see on television now.
Right.
You
know? I do think Crashing's pretty good.
Yeah.
Crashing, he nails it. I think they
I'm
do.
Dying Up Here season 2 is killing it.
I'm Dying Up Here is good, and it's hard because it's 70s, and I don't really believe that that's how they were in the 70s in L.A., personally. I think they were more like Waka Waka.
Yeah.
These guys are way too edgy. but that's okay. But I just really, the boom, if you ever, hopefully we'll do it again. Hopefully we'll make
any,
a film.
If there's any independent, wealthy person
money.
Out there that wants a write-off,
contact
Joel. We have a script that is amazing.
Soul
we
Joel
already
Productions.
Have a cast.
So, is there anyone out there that has any money?
I just thought it was funny.
So, real quick, the way we start every show.
You're right. I forgot. You know what? Because we're here with a friend, I didn't.
Oh,
I
couldn't. I couldn't wait for someone to notice because I got scolded last time I did this.
Oh, look who finished eating.
Oh, it is an old Sandwich Richardson.
PB and Joe.
What do you think the J stands for?
PB and Joe. Anyway, so the way we start the show, wow. That was coffee going through Joel's nose for those who were like, what the hell was that sound?
Double filtered.
Jesus. The way we start the show, and we didn't. Did we warn him?
Yes.
Okay,
Vinny's very aware of the show. He's our biggest fan. And
I usually ask, why have you not had me on yet? That's what I've been asking for.
Well
we
wanted
to
make sure we had the format down.
I was
going to
tell that story.
That's why his dress is so lovely.
Before we bring in the big dog.
Here's what happened. I called Vinny the other day, and I said, listen, we're recording on Monday. We'd like you to come in and be on the podcast. And he goes, number one, yes. Number two, what the fuck took you so long?
Yeah, it's my
Vinny always.
And I said, we're out of people.
If anybody at home wants to, like, ever have Vinny in their mind of what would Vinny say, how would he say, just picture Italian Gilbert Gottfried.
What took so long?
But here, all right, so be honest. Who did you ask first to be here today?
What
Mark
do you mean?
I know I was not your first choice to be.
No.
Your guest.
No.
No, today you were.
No, he wasn't. We couldn't find anybody. And I said, hey, what if we get Vinny? And he said,
I know that's
a
great
truth.
Idea. Yeah.
Come on, we're going to tell the truth.
To
here.
Be honest.
No, I thought
we
you
asked,
guys brought him up right away.
Oh, we tried to get Shuley. We tried to get who else?
No, Shuley I asked after he confirmed.
Who'd you do the show for today?
Chris DiStefano and Giannis.
And Giannis.
They returned us down.
All right, these guys are all much bigger names than they.
Okay. Yeah. There you go.
So the way we start every show is we ask our guests for what they're drinking.
All right.
Vinny, what is your drink of
my
choice?
Drink of
what
choice
are you drinking today?
A vodka tonic.
Vodka tonic? With actual tonic water?
And lime, yes.
And lime.
Yeah.
I am not a fan of tonic water.
No.
I don't like clubs. I like tonic.
Really?
A little tang to it.
You like a little, like, harsh.
Oh, yeah.
A little more harsh to it?
No, wait. Well, I was a bartender. And when I would tend bar and wait tables, that was the drink you could have where people didn't smell it on you.
That's true. He's
really?
Right.
Yeah.
I better start getting vodka and tonic.
Please, Mark. Please. We're begging you.
Yeah.
I'm drinking, of course,
your tequila. Of course. Now, is there a vodka choice. You like?
I got Tito's? Tito's lately, yeah.
Because I know when we went out, you had Tito's.
Yeah.
I'll be in Austin tomorrow this time, probably drinking Tito's.
Is that made in Austin?
Yep.
Oh, yeah, that's right, it is. Yeah,
are you going to tour the factory?
I think I might. Spanky's actually friends with Tito. So
there's a real Tito.
There is a real Tito. And
there's a real Gino. There's a real Tito.
The great thing about Tito's is, okay, so Spanky's been drinking Tito's for like 15, 20 years.
Yeah, and it just became mainstream.
And he would go home to Austin. This was pre-9/11. He would pack an entire suitcase just filled with the gallon jugs of Tito's and fly it home. And his home bar at his house on the Upper West Side had Tito's vodka.
Really?
Everybody was obsessed with it. And he wouldn't sell the bottles. Like, people were like, can I buy a bottle so I can have some at home? He's like, nope. Because, like, I'm going to have, whenever I throw a party, everybody's going to want to come because I got Tito's.
Wow.
And now Tito's is everywhere. And people are like, that's Spanky's vodka.
Yeah, poor Spanky. Like, he lost his identity right now.
Yeah.
Like I was once
even
the Tito's
on
guy.
He lives in Austin now.
Yeah.
So he moved there.
There's plenty of Tito's where he is.
So we're talking vodka,
and we need a street joke. Do you have any street jokes?
You know, I'm not a good street joke guy.
You're not a good
any comedy. Yeah. No. All right. No. Here. The old standby classic that I've always liked.
Okay.
All right. All right. So the guy goes to the doctor, and the doctor says to him, "You have to stop masturbating." And he says, "Why?" He says, "Because I'm trying to examine you."
Right.
That's my all-time favorite one.
I was
one,
just
yeah.
working with Joey Cola, and he said, he goes, I was at the exam. I went to a, who's the urologist? I was at, the guy's at the urologist, and the doctor said, you know, it's very peculiar that you have an erection. And the guy goes, I don't have an erection. He goes, no, but I do.
One day, a couple of years ago, I did a show for Joey Cola. He booked this daytime show. It was all these big wig Long Island guys, all business owners, like just, you know, them.
Yeah.
Them.
Now, you told this on the podcast, but not in front of him.
Men in literal big wigs.
I told this story.
Joey Cola heckled you?
Yeah, but no, they weren't listening. They wouldn't give me the time of day. And I finally started telling street jokes. And just as I was getting them, so I've told this before, yeah. I go, two old guys walk in, and Joey goes, I did that one! I did that one! And I go, what? He goes, I just did that one! And I go, you mean the one about blah, blah, blah? He goes, oh, no, not that one. Thank you, Joey.
Wait, so Joey heard the line, two old guys, and immediately assumed that's the only street joke there. Yeah. With that opening.
And the little bit of opening that I had with this audience was completely gone.
You remember when you and I did the... I'm sorry. No, remember when you... All right, so Rich and I, we did a show up... God, where was it? Upstate New York. Way upstate New York. Okay? And we get to the hotel.
When your car broke down?
Yes, my car broke down.
It was in Elmsford. No. Yeah,
Elmira.
Yeah. Elmira.
Stop bragging.
So, yeah, my car broke down.
That was a great gig, though, before. Because it was a Tuesday night. Tom booked it, Omnipop. It was. They still may do it, and they did it like once a month. It was in a theater, and everybody came out. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, so my corporate, we got towed up to the gig.
Elmira.
We went to the...
I only got you the gig so you could drive. Yeah. You caught my corporate.
But no, so we went to the hotel before the show.
The Samuel Clemens Theater.
And there's a sign up that says, comedy show tonight, 11 o'clock.
Yeah,
and I go over
at
to
the hotel.
Is that us? And he's like, you're like, no, we're down at
the
theater. Like, and then so we get to the theater, and they're like, no, that's you guys. You're doing a post show at 11 o'clock.
This is what comedy. No one told us.
Yeah, we had no idea.
No, you guys got to do a post show. I'm like, we're doing the show. We're doing the show at the theater.
And
no. Then
the post show is people would go to see the theater show and then go to the hotel ballroom or bar actually to watch us again. We already done all our material.
It was the strangest fucking.
Yeah, so we said, we're going to do street jokes.
Yeah.
And do nothing but street jokes.
Yeah.
And we all took turns. It was me, you, and Mike Burton.
Right.
Wow. Show.
And I'm like, okay, so Richie would do a street joke. They love it.
Mike Burton would do a street joke. They'd love it.
I would do one, and they would fail every fucking time. And I didn't write any jokes. I didn't write them.
So eeny, meeny, miny, mo.
Yeah, whatever it was. I don't know what it was about the pick of jokes I had.
That's right, Benny. I remember
it was like Daffy Duck levels of
crickets.
Hilarious.
He did at the end blow himself up.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I couldn't figure it out because, you were telling the same level of joke
so
I was.
So
they just decided,
but
we don't like this guy.
That's where I want to go with this, because you are a tremendous writer and maybe not the best performer we've ever seen. Maybe that's what it is. You can't even tell a fucking street joke.
I don't know about that.
Brothers? Because that's such a backhanded...
No, because he's always yelling. Hey. Oh, look, DeMeo's on stage. He's always yelling at me. How come I'm not getting as much work as that guy? Huh? I don't know, Vin. I know you're a good writer. Here's what Vinny does that I don't think we've had any other guest on who
does
this. I
think this is like an intervention.
That's what it sounds like.
Vinny writes for, and I'm not going to name names, but Vinny writes for a lot of comics.
A really good one.
Yeah. Really, mm-hmm.
Really high up.
Yeah,
there.
Yeah. And I've
he
even
writes amazing scripts.
And I have my variety show, and Vinny's been writing, has been my head writer on my variety show for years and wrote some phenomenal. Wrote The Liar. Which we performed
at the Christmas show.
Loosely based off your life?
Not loosely.
No subtlety at all.
I remember when he and Jay wrote The Liar and they gave it to me and they were like, you know this is you, right? You know it's you. I'm like, all right, let's shut up.
I actually have a story about The Liar, but go finish your thought about how terrible I am first.
So thank far, that's gentlemen. Vinny 4, Richie 0.
Oh, you really suck.
I think it's because I'm such a good writer that my performance pales in comparison. Maybe. You know, that's what it is. I've set such a high bar.
You're also the first guest that's roasted Richie.
We thought it was going to be Vic.
Yeah, we did.
On your gambling, yeah. But then we found out he's just as big of a gambler.
Vic love my gambling. So no,
he started gambling on you.
But it's interesting because I know you get upset, you get frustrated that you're not hired more, you're not working.
Yes,
more.
That's true.
Yeah, and it is interesting to me that the people don't understand it. There are some people who are just great writers. You're a great writer, and that's. Yeah, I'm.
I'll be honest. I never actually set out to be a performer, so I guess mission accomplished.
And you're a teacher.
I'm going to just say right now. I think everybody at home listening will agree with me. Vinny's killing it now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No. Well, that's the other thing. Vinny's one of those guys. You get in a car with him, you're on the floor.
The whole ride.
You get to the show,
man,
not so much.
Since we're all just like coming down on Vinny.
You're Zeppo Marx. They say Zeppo Marx was the funniest Marx brother of all of them. Mm-hmm. He got in front of a camera and couldn't fucking do a thing.
Vinny drives me crazy because when we do gigs together, he'll talk to me while they're announcing me.
To the second you get introduced.
Yeah, and I'll be walking out and pulling the microphone out of the stand. He's still talking to me. And I'm one of those guys, like, I get right before I go on, I get real quiet. And Vinny's sitting there like, so then I was saying the other
dude, day. Dude, he did it to me at the Friars. Oh, my God. You drove me friggin' crazy. We're at the Friars. And I'm doing a show, and I'm really uptight about the show. And
everyone in the audience is dead now. All right, for Friars. Every single person at the Friars club that night and passed away.
And ironically, the show was last Tuesday. So he was there.
They were calling you the kid.
So Vinny's, he's not really making that up. So Vinny's there to schmooze Bobby Collins to get Bobby to
do the boom.
The boom, mm-hmm. At the Friars. And Bobby's being Bobby. Ah, Vinny, what are we going to do? Why are we doing it here? We're doing big plays and all. And I know that there's no way Bobby's going
to
do it.
Can I tell you his real reason why he said he didn't want to do it? The excuse he gave me.
What?
All right. He said because he didn't want to play somebody washed up.
Right.
And
that's,
he was self-conscious about that idea.
And you didn't say Richie's playing a bad comic?
Yeah.
And so
well,
Bobby,
that would have helped him.
So
his side of the argument.
Vinny is talking to me nonstop. Dude, I think we got Bobby. I think Bobby's going to do it. And I know Bobby's just being Bobby. Vinny, I'll do it. You know how Bobby is, right?
Yeah.
And I have to go on stage. He's going, I'm pretty sure we got him. You know, we got him. And I go, Vinny, shut the fuck up. Just shut up.
Holy shit. You haven't read a new joke in 30 years. That all of a sudden now you got to have your memory together?
I wouldn't say it's together.
I was half in the bag, and you know that.
You don't have this.
I wrote a joke in the last 20.
You don't have this on autopilot by now?
No.
So you haven't heard his new Jimmy Carter bit, huh?
Richie's written some. He just hasn't performed them.
I gotta say, this is what this is exactly what the podcast is supposed to be. I'm laughing so hard over here. I have tears in my eyes.
And this is, we always said, what goes on backstage? What goes on at the bar? This is kind of like...
It is. Like, it's a roast.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, that's what I love about I'm Dying Up Here is every situation that something happens turns into a mild roast.
Yep.
The girl's show gets screwed over because of a flood.
Right.
They start making fun
of her. Right.
Well, the other day, I told James Mattern this. Keith Robinson on Facebook goes, I would like to congratulate Wanda Sykes, who he mentored and now opens up for, on her Emmy nominee. And Eric Rivera commented on Facebook and goes, let us know how heavy her suitcases are after she wins.
Your face.
I wish
you
could see Joel's face when we all looked at him.
Completely drunk.
No idea what that means.
No, he's carrying her bags. Because he opens for her.
I'm sorry. I didn't get it.
Joel's face went from complete smile. This is such a great story to what just happened.
Joy.
Actually, Vinny, thank you so much.
Oh, my God. Now you know what it's like to be me.
Vinny's mentioned... just laughing because he's hoping you'll book him.
Joel ignores every email I ever send. He really does.
I don't mean to interrupt, but we have to talk about... Are you kidding?
Yeah.
Are you kidding? Why does she have your number?
No. No, this is through Facebook Messenger. Kate Ann.
Okay, shout out to Kate Ann.
I'll tell you later.
Who's Kate Ann?
She's this
Dr. Oz.
Girlfriend. She's going to be so happy we're talking about it. Yeah. Kate Ann comes to the Dr. Oz show all the time.
Okay.
And she's a
usually it's just
girl.
Drifters that go to that.
She's a drifter. Yes, drifters.
Yeah.
Clint Eastwood comes through. So she gets a little excited at the show, mm-hmm. and she tends to talk a lot.
Yeah.
During my warm-up. And normally it's nonsensical. Like, I'll be going, okay, guys, so you got to have your phones up. Richie, that was a really great post you put on Facebook. Like, she's yelling. So I tell him, he's at the show one day, and I go, listen, the girl sitting in front of you, don't lead her on. She might yell some things. Just don't. I think Mark was there too.
I was there.
And then 2 minutes into the show, I look over. He's going, "Hey, Kate Ann!" He's like in love with her.
Is she like a fan of yours? Does she go to your gigs now?
Well, she didn't until Joel started telling her where I was playing.
No, because you have you attract a certain crowd, and I remember this when we did the boom. Okay, Richie invites all these people to come see the
book. You're such an asshole.
This is in a real off-Broadway theater. It's a big deal.
It might be the same girl he's talking about.
No.
I know what he's talking about.
Go ahead. Richie's friends brought coolers of their own booze to a play.
They were tailgating.
They were in flip-flops.
Yeah, they're like, oh, these are Richie's, fans all sitting in the back, all with their own cooler.
Yes.
And then Richie's on stage because how we open the show, we have him...
On stage,
apartment, walking around doing things.
Yeah.
While people are being seated, things are going on, you're watching Richie have a private moment watching television and lifting weights.
Right, like I'm supposed to be in my...
They're all in the back. Yeah, Richie!
Paul Mercurio made me laugh because Paul comes up. Paul saw the show and then, didn't see me for 9 months. And then he goes, hey, man, when he ran it, he goes, you were great in Vinny's play. I go, thanks. He goes, no, you were really great. I go, thanks. He goes to walk away. He turns back. He goes, you know I could see your nuts. Because I was in shorts and I had my legs up. And I go, then I did my job. Because that's what I was doing.
That was the point. I mentioned the one thing that you would not do in the play. You would not be shirtless.
I would not be shirtless.
Yeah.
I refuse.
It says in the script.
He went no pants.
It says
Winnie the Pooh style.
It says.
I have great legs.
An obese man sits on a couch on the stage.
Yeah. Yes, you're a sick fuck.
And you would not
you are a
shirt
sick
off.
Bastard. Yeah, no, that's not where it was.
No, you know.
I had to change my shirt.
Yeah.
To put on.
Oh, that's what it is.
Yeah.
Okay, yes.
And it said in it, he takes off his shirt, puts on the T-shirt, and in my head, I'm like, yeah, that's not happening. It's not happening. And he's going, no, you got to do this. There's a reason. And I'm laughing. I'm like, because the director said, don't worry, we'll make it. We'll figure it out. Don't worry. The director. But the writer's going, no, it's in the script.
I want to see his nipples.
He's going, the script says take off your shirt. Take off your shirt. I'm like, shut up, Vin.
I imagine that, you're like Coco in Fame, kind of.
Yeah.
Go have fun, Richard.
I'm taking off my shirt crying, and you're going, just a little more. Just a little more.
Yeah,
and I go, Vinny, and I had a good point. I go, Vinny, if I take off my shirt, because it was in the background, I go, nobody is going to be paying attention to the scene. They're going to be going,
on.
Holy
yeah.
shit, look at that white pasty tit. Oh my God, how does man have breasts like that?
So how
pendulous.
How he was with you, I just want you to know that Josh Petrino and I were trying so hard to get this one thing together where we're going to shoot you just in an all-gray sweatsuit running around.
Oh,
okay. Like, we're obsessed with it. We need Vinny in a full sweatsuit.
Like a Rocky Balboa?
Yeah, it's just running around.
Like exercising. Mark DeMeo just killed at the comic strip. But I got my way. We compromised.
That's because you slept with the director.
Yes.
I wore a wife beater underneath him when I switched the shirts. And it's funny because I still have them. Mm-hmm. I bought 3 wife beaters and still have them and have never worn them. I've never worn a wife beater.
Now, did you know that I wrote that for you when you got the script? Did you have that? Were you able to tell that it was sort of written in your voice?
To a degree. Mm-hmm. When I was reading it, I thought, I think he had me in mind.
A lot of the wording had a definite, like, New York accent.
Bro. A lot of bros in there.
I'm a bro.
You know I'm a slow reader. That was a big one.
Shut up, stupid.
That was a line in the play.
Not so much bro. More, you're a slow reader.
No, the line actually was, come on, bro. You know I'm a slow reader.
Really? Nothing's more Richie Byrne than that line there.
That's like, Richie, I'll write, like, a script for his show. Yeah. For his show, and I'll send it, and I worked on it. Toiled.
Toiled.
Look at him
showing off his vocabulary.
And you're like, oh, no, I don't have time to read it. You know, it would definitely be, it's quicker for you to read it than for you to write it.
No, I'll tell you why, because here's what happens when I start to read it. I start to fix it.
Mm-hmm.
So what because you and Jay Black, used to write great sketches, but you left a lot out. You'd send me a beginning, a middle, and an end, and it'd be really interesting, but there weren't a lot of jokes in between. So you may have toiled.
We're avant-garde.
It's very avant-garde. So I would have to sit there and write, and didn't know I had a talent for this till then. I would add jokes. And if you know my act. My act is very long-winded, so I didn't know I could punch up, but I didn't think I had the ability to do that. And I learned that I do. So when I would start to read one of your scripts, I would have to stop and go, this is missing. How do I fit? So that's what I meant by I don't have time to read it. I would never just read it.
I'm in my house. I have no pens.
I can't
go down the street. Where do I buy pens? I don't even know.
I used to send them scripts. I used to send them scripts on email, and I didn't know about the files. So I would cut and paste the whole script from Word, put it into the email, and send it to them that way. Do you remember that?
Yes.
I didn't. And Jay used to go, are you kidding? I'm like, what? And he goes, you know there's an easier way to do this.
Hey, you know, we talk about roast. I like your opinions on the idea of roasting. Do you like the way we've changed what roasts are now? You may have talked about this on the show already.
No, we haven't.
Yeah,
no,
well,
we haven't.
Well, I just see all these shows like, oh, it's a roast battle, and the idea of the term roast now just means making fun of somebody.
It just means being mean.
Whereas like the classic idea of a roast for comedians was like it was an honor, and it was like about friendship.
It was more of a toast than a roast back then.
It was comedians honoring you the way comedians honor by making fun of you. Yeah. Whereas now it seems like it's gone more.
Which is kind of what we've been doing this whole episode on Vinny.
But I will say though that the. What's his name, roast?
Don Rickles with Dean Martin.
The Dean Martin roasts were very different than what was going on at the Friars even then. The Friars was very mean-spirited, from what I gather, even back then. Now you get to see the Friars on TV because TV's changed so much.
But that's the Comedy Central roast. That's not the Friars.
But it's based on the
Friars. A lot of times people don't even know the person that they're roasting now. They're just bringing in whoever is the, like...
But do you really think that they all knew Martin?
I would think that there was usually a connection in some way or another, right?
They work together. I hear something that if you watch old episodes of The Golden Girls, how they are so
mean.
Oh, I mean, just digging in and just
ruthless.
No, until your wife posted that on Facebook, I never looked at it from that perspective.
Why? Mm-hmm.
Okay, so
Joel once again jumps ahead.
So my four-year-old goes to my wife and says, "Daddy's watching dirty shows upstairs when you're not
around."
Told
you that before.
He's watching these dirty shows, adult shows, when you're not here. And my wife's like, is there violence? Is there nudity? He's like, no. just a bunch of old ladies being mean to each other.
Oh,
it was the Golden Girls.
Right, right.
So Angie posted this video of, like, the most ruthless lines of the Golden Girls.
Right.
A highlight reel.
It was actually granny S&M porn that Mark was watching. And he's like, no, it was the Golden Girls.
It was the Golden...
Her name just happened to be Blanche.
It was the Golden Showers Girls.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no. We'll edit in post.
Come on, that was awesome. So the thing is that you know they all live together. You know they all love each other. It's a mother and daughter half the time. They're best friends. So they can be completely violent, vile to each other, and it's hysterical.
Right. Yeah, like I'm not a big fan of roast battles, though.
Yeah,
you
it's
know?
Like these people don't even really know each other. And like, hey, I heard your mom died in a car wreck. Here's a car wreck joke. And it's like, that's just
Yeah.
Have you guys ever done any of the roast battles?
No. And I think you guys are right. That's the difference, is that they're not friends.
Yeah. There needs to be a love for a joke. To say something horribly mean, you have to have equal amount of love for it to be funny. Or else you're just bullying.
Or the person really deserves it. That's the other possibility.
Yeah. It's a very weird...
But I mean, I know it does well, right? When
they're doing them in clubs now.
Yeah, they do
it's not just.
Well, you know, I judged one a couple of months ago. Oh, yeah? I was in Long Island. I went out with Mike Keegan, and he was going to one. He wasn't in it. And I went, and they said, hey, do you mind judging it? Because I was the A-lister in the room.
God, who can?
So, actually, Keegan was a judge.
The king of Massapequa here.
Oh man! If you weren't in the middle of a story, I would say good night.
But I actually enjoyed it. I think it was because they were younger comics who all knew each other.
Okay,
so there was that feeling, and they all knew the inside joke. So I kind of liked it. I thought the battle was kind of cool that way.
How does that translate to an audience member? Do they know the inside jokes? Or
I don't know, because I don't know that there was any audience there. I think it was all comics. You mm-hmm. know? And not all of them were on the show, but they all went to support each other. And I do think that it's a good vehicle for young comics.
It's a good writing exercise, definitely.
One comic actually did a really cool thing where he kept complimenting the other comic.
That's the Norm MacDonald move.
Really?
Yeah, reverse it.
I judge people's sense of humor based on how much they enjoy that Norm MacDonald roast. I think it's like the funniest thing ever. Saget.
I went to a roast at Brokers in Belmore, and it was for Melvin George. Was you know Melvin?
Yes.
Shout out to Melvin. Not cool one.
Ed Ryan.
Mm. Yeah.
Ed Ryan got up and said, I don't really know Melvin. And to be honest, I'm a little confused. I thought this was for Harold Melvin of Harold Melvin and the Blue Notes. And he had all these jokes about Harold Melvin. It was so funny. And he kept turning to it. So you, Harold Melvin. It's so funny the way he did it. It was really, really clever.
That's genius.
Melvin George is one of those guys I always look at as like...
Who is this? Who's on stage? Do you guys know?
I don't know, but...
Sorry, we could cut that.
He's a big Yankee fan.
No, it's a she.
She's a big Yankee fan.
Because they're all went crazy.
No wonder Richie all of a sudden paid attention.
No, because they all went crazy. I'm like, I must know this person, but I don't.
You thought it was Roberto Kelly, didn't you?
Tell that story about what you say to me the other day.
I don't remember. You made me lose my train of thought.
Oh, Vinny told a thing that I thought was really funny. He said, you know, we're in show business, and we meet people in show business, and you're not really... We don't get that impressed. He said, but you meet a former athlete.
From when you were a kid.
And you lose your mind. And he started going, oh, my God, are you Mike Pagliarulo?
Yeah.
The way he said it was.
Yeah, it's like, if you're like a Yankee from 1987, I'm far more impressed. Like I said, right here, I sat with...
We're recording live at the Comic Strip.
Yes, yes. I'm gesturing to a spot. I sat with Chris Rock, and you know he was waiting to go on. I talked to him and I hung out with him as like another comic, which was cool.
You talked to him all the way until he got to the microphone.
That's right.
And he went, "Jesus Christ, Vinny, shut the fuck up, folks." That's Drink Jokes and Storytelling. Vinny, thank you for coming
on.
Ba boom.
I had more to tell.
Last call.
Thanks for listening to Drinks, Jokes, and Storytelling.